Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
If anything goes wrong in this segment, I'm not going to stand up and take responsibility. I'm going to point fingers.
We're just going to blame Brandon and Mark.
Right. We have the coach with us, Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. What's going on?
That's perfect.
Just kidding. What's going on, coach?
That is absolutely perfect. I'm good, guys. Good to be with you this morning. I love Monday mornings in here with you guys.
Yeah, we talk about all the things that we would have done if we were coaches on Saturday, potentially.
We'll talk about that a little bit, coach. You've been in that seat before. You know, we hear, Coach Vrabel, talking about, he needs to help Corey Davis to make sure he knows what he's doing and then make sure Marcus gets him the ball. At the end of the day, I get it, but man, Marcus and Davis got to be on the same page. He can only do so much as the head coach. Talk about when you're sitting in that shoes as a head coach, when you're up at the podium talking about, maybe it's more about we than about who made mistakes, really.
Well, it's in that situation, and thanks for bringing this up, Blaine, because it's real. When you're a head coach, I mean, you've got to take responsibility, and especially publicly, you have to take responsibility. That's what you do.
You went over 50 billion times.
No, that's what comes with your with your job, and then you can get it. Because look, the people that really want this thing to go well are those people inside that building, believe me.
Right.
And you know that, and I know that. And so, there was nobody. I mean, as soon as we get on the plane, you can see the computers being passed around. They're already looking at the games. This is their life. This is their livelihood, and they want to perform well, too. But as a head coach, and rightfully so, and Mike Vrabel has impressed me very much. He will step up. He steps up all the time. It's the same thing that I did. I learned it from Mike Ditka. You step up. It's me. And then when you get in the closed room sessions, you're all
tell us something about those closed rooms. I mean, how are they, man? Like, are there some words that we can't say on air that goes on in there besides you say, oh, it's all my fault. And then you get in a meeting like, hey, why did you do this? Why did you do this? We went over this.
Well, it's really not. Now, look, let's start off.
Come on, keep it real, coach.
No, I will keep it real. When I first went to work at the Chicago Bears for Mike Ditka, for the preseason games, I didn't really understand preseason when I first came into the league, because I thought every time you went out there, you were throwing it, you were throwing it out there and you're going to try it. Then I started to understand kind of what that was. But when it got for real, we were 12-4, 13-3. I mean, we won a lot of games, but if your guys didn't even play good, this was back before you could get the game immediately.
Right. Yeah, I want you to talk about that too, about how different it is now that you can look at the game when you get on the plane as opposed to when you were coaching.
Mark, let me tell you something. When I was a young coach there for Mike Ditka and my guys didn't play well, even if we won, because I knew every play, and so I would go back to the facility there in Lake Forest. I only lived about two blocks from the facility, and I would wait with a film guy until he got that thing done because I wanted to look at it first. Because, if something went down, I wanted to be able to have something to tell Mike Ditka the first thing out of his mouth when he said, hey, Coach Mac, what the hell? Hey, Coach, here's what it is. Look, I've already looked at this. I know. Look, you want to be able for everybody to not only be on the same page, but look, accountability is a huge part of being a professional athlete. You know that. That accountability, availability, is just as much as ability. And it's all part of it. And being a professional means much more than getting paid. Being a professional means being able to step up and to not only admit what has gone wrong, but to work to fix what's gone wrong real quick.
Talk about, though, too, what we saw on offense and how people are going to point at Mariota, who rightfully deserves at least some of the blame. But there was a failure with the receivers, with Corey Davis, and I didn't think the offensive line had a particularly good game. So what did you see out there when the first team was playing?
Well, the offensive line, as you said, and again, this is a very good offensive line, and believe me, there's no more proud unit as a group than this offensive line. And they know any, you know, the first sack was a missed protection. You know, it was a slide protection. Mm-hmm. They brought four off of the side. We had you had the right tackle slid the wrong way, and that way, and of course, you know, I know that you know, you're going to talk about, you know, the backs pickup, you know, Henry's pickup. Well, you know, that wasn't his pickup. I mean, they were jailbreaked on top of him so fast. The offensive line, this whole offense, guys, and I've said this from day one, and it is the truth, and they know it too. This whole offense, the genesis of it is being able to run the football. You've got to be able to run that outside zone, and you got to be able to make them respect the run to do that. Now, this was a preseason game. Keith Butler was working on a lot of his blitzes. Stephon Tuitt was back in there, you know, playing healthy. Hayward was playing healthy. He was getting his guys cranked up. They had been embarrassed the week before defensively, so they were bringing a lot of things, and that's a good thing, because here's what you need to do. If something like that happens early, I mean, it's a jolt to you, and it's a wake-up call to you to say, hey, look, got to screw this thing down. But in this offense, and it's not any revelation, but to run the football, everything generates off that outside zone being able to come. They've got to respect the play action pass, and then you've got to protect your quarterback. You have to protect your quarterback, not only here, but everywhere else in the league too.
It's pretty evident after the first few plays that the Bears didn't even bite on play action, and that to me was a disadvantage to the Steelers, because the play was slow developing then, and they were all over Mariota because, again, they were unfazed by play action.
Well, they were unfazed by play action. And, again, that might be a little bit too, Mark, a product of it being the preseason, because, you know, if they run it, so what? I mean, that's kind of their thinking. And, again, you know, the week before, if you really watched the game the week before, they, you know, they had some of their guys that didn't play. They had kind of been pushed around a little bit on defense. So I think, and Keith Butler, you know, was there for years and years and years as an apprentice, you know, to Dick LeBeau. And so he was going to get them back on point. And he started the game off immediately and never really stopped bringing a lot of pressure. He was bringing four from each side quite a bit, you know, and four up the middle. And so, you know, they were disregarding it. I mean, they were flogging every gap pretty quick most of the time.
Talking Titans and Steelers on Saturday, kind of looking ahead to the fourth preseason game, which will be against Minnesota on Thursday night. That will be right here on The Zone. Let's get to a call or two. Sean, good morning. You're on The Zone. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. Coach, thanks very much for all your insights. My question is, do you think the fact that Coach Watterson is no longer on the staff, does that have anything to do with the fact that there's just this litany of injury that we haven't really seen in years past? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
Hey, Sean, thanks for calling in. Appreciate you being up calling in this morning. You know, I was here with Steve Watterson for a long time. Did a tremendous job. Tom Canavy worked, you know, for Steve Watterson. Tom Canavy's really good at what he does. And really, that's not, I don't think, factors into it. Look, the injury percentage in this league for a player, Blaine and I were just talking about that with the other guys, you know, when we were in a break. Here's what your injury percentage is for a player in the National Football League if he's out there on the field at any time, whether it's practice or game. It's 100%. Okay, sooner or later, something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. You know, I think the Titans have a tremendous, you know, strength and conditioning staff. You know, the training staff is really good. There are things that you know, you're going to get injured. The thing you've got to do is be able to manage the injuries and then get your players back healthy. So, you know, as I say, and with all much due respect to Steve Watterson, who had a tremendous career with the Oilers/Titans and was one of the best in the business, they still got really, really good people doing this.
Coach, talk about the reduction in the number of players in camp and how you think maybe that's impacted, I guess, maybe injuries. Once you start having injuries at one position or multiple position, now I got, you know, the second string and third string, everybody's doing more reps from 120 or whatever the number was to now 90.
Right. Well, I mean, you used to take as many people to training camp as you wanted to, you know, and now you've got 32 teams with 90 people, okay? 32 teams with 90 people. First of all, your pool is pretty thinned out to begin with. Once you start getting injuries at one particular position, for whatever reason, during a training camp, it really starts to daisy chain down the line. because Blaine, you're the starter, and all of a sudden you've tweaked your ankle. Now, those guys that are behind you, if you're going to be out any amount of time, they've got to start taking more reps in practice to make up for what's going on. Okay? So what happens is you've only got a certain number of people. And as you get closer, and that's why I think you're seeing, and you brought this up, and I think it's a good point, you're starting to see the trend now in the National Football League. The league recognized the issue with the number of players. That's why they kept, that's why they took out that first cut, so that you didn't go to 75 and then down to 53. They kept it so that you could have all your players available, so that first of all, guys could get some more looks. Those down the line guys can get more looks in this fourth preseason game. Plus, the key, guys, is once you start this regular season, all of us, all four of us sitting here in this studio, you would be the same way. You want your good guys healthy for that first regular season game. It all, everything matters. And it really, whether you're a starter or not, if somebody gets injured, then it daisy chains down the line as to the number of reps. And you got to remember, each player only has two legs. And so the number of reps you get on those legs, an accumulative effect makes a difference.
And Dave, speaking of things that are sort of interlocking, in every situation, when there's a coaching change, it takes time for a coaching staff to gel. In this particular case, everybody thought that John Robinson was sort of playing the long game when he brought in a first-time head coach, along with a first-time offensive coordinator, and they have a relatively inexperienced staff. And I don't mean this critically, but this has got to be part of the learning curve in the preseason for the coaching staff as much as it is the players.
Yeah, and again, an operation, an NFL operation on the sideline during a game, I mean, it's all-inclusive. It's everybody involved. And as you said, when you put a new staff together, regardless of the number of years of experience any of these guys have, and there's some very experienced coaches on this staff, and there's some younger coaches on this staff, just like there are throughout the league, but for them to work as a unit, it takes time. It takes time. You know, operational things during the game. Now, I think the operation, just from my perspective of seeing it and having been involved in one or two NFL games, you know, just having watched it, I mean, you know, you haven't burned any timeouts, you know, wrong timeouts. You haven't had too many people on the field. It's very well organized now. As far as the communications on the headsets and how they feel that's going, you know, I'm not on those headsets. It looks to me like it's running smooth, but everybody's got to find their niche. Everybody's got to find their place. And it's also very, very important, you know, during ball games, who's talking on the headset? Who's not talking on the headset? When do I cut in? When do I talk? I mean, it's just like Mike, Keith, and I doing a broadcast together. You know, there's timing involved, just like you guys have timing involved in the studio. And so all of that stuff, the longer you're together, the more uniform and consistent that becomes.
We talked about injuries a lot, and they'll be constructing the final roster here in the next few days. How much have those affected, like maybe those bottom spots, and how many might more might be available?
Any injury affects that a lot, and it affects it a lot as to who's going to be available now, who's going to be available 4 weeks from now, because now the way they've done with this injured reserve, you can bring people back. You know, you can bring them back off injured reserve after 6 weeks. I mean, there's a lot of moving chess pieces that you have to do, and you have to look at it and see. That's why you've got to be so in tune with your training staff, your medical staff, your training staff, all of this stuff. And believe me, that's a very in tune group up there. I mean, I know a good operation from a bad one. That's a good operation that the Titans have going on up there. But everybody has to be involved, the decision makers, and you make short range plans, and you also got to have long range plans too. But this is big because, and again, some of the final 53 may not be on this roster right now, may not be here right now either. That's something to think about, too.
All right, it's week four of the preseason. You're not going to play, at least history says, you're not going to play most of your starters on Thursday against the Vikings. What are some of the big priorities this week as Mike Vrabel, you know, obviously looks at his fourth preseason game? But what is he doing operationally as they roll towards the beginning of the regular season?
Well, again, if you want to start talking about the operation, first of all, the headsets, you know, regardless of who's playing out there, your communication, all of those things, that stays the same. You can always continue to grease the wheels on that and make that thing work, you know, more smoothly if you want to. But again, you want to look at some of these younger players. My notes here, I brought in this. I always take notes during a ball game. I mean, you want to see, I thought Kenneth Durden did a great job, you know, when he got a chance. Did a good job, right? I mean, you want to see, look at him. You want to see Finch play a little bit more. You want to see some of these guys that you're going to use, you know, in some backup, you know, positional roles. You want to see these guys still be able to get in there and play. And especially these guys that have not played a lot of NFL football, any snap is very, very valuable. So there's still a lot that goes into this fourth preseason game.
Would your strategy change as a head coach today compared to back when you were a head coach as far as playing time in the preseason for your veteran guys?
Yes, it did. I mean, again, I go way, way back with this thing. I mean, and a lot of the times it depends on who the player is and what position he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go even as recent as, you know, that last place where I was. You know, I don't think Jared Goff or Todd Gurley or any of those guys at the Rams have taken one preseason snap. Mm-hmm. You know, again, a preseason game is important. But again, at the same time, you have to make that decision as to how much good work they're getting in practice, what you've seen, how comfortable you feel with them. And so, but has it changed from when I first started? Absolutely, it has, Blaine, for a lot of reasons.
Half hour goes fast. Thanks, Coach.
You know what? It goes so fast. It's fun being in here with you guys. I love talking ball with you guys and our listeners.